o'clock hour.
Sooner than later.
Matt Carney. Love him. And the perfect song for We're Always Late to start the 10 o'clock hour.
Rob Domofsky asks an important question at ESPN.com and ESPNWisconsin.com. If you listen to Jesse's Sports Center, you know what that question is. That question is simply, does Jordan Love have an interception problem? Now, having read Rob's piece, I'm not sure if we have the answer. If he does indeed have an interception problem, or he's just having...
Then what the hell did he write? What the hell did he write about that?
With the interceptions.
Ask a question, don't answer it. Domofsky just dropped in my power rankings. If that story, if it didn't get answered, which I have not read.
Spoon is a clear number one today.
According to ESPN research, Love has been blitzed 35.6% of the time, the second highest rate among regular starters behind only Gardner Minshew. Yet Love ranks only 22nd in the percentage of plays under pressure. So I guess that would indicate that the offensive line has done a pretty good job of protecting him even when he's been blitzed. Isn't that what that says?
Mm-hmm.
Love's off-target rate is low. He ranks with the eighth lowest in the league at 13.1. I go back to the conversation that I had with him, which will be featured in Sunday's story in the State Journal and which was featured on our show late last week, and that is that this is part of the process of developing into the franchise quarterback that we believe he is, that we think he is becoming, and that we know he is working toward being. But there are some hiccups in that process, and he's thrown too many picks. He said it yesterday. He acknowledges that. Does he have an interception problem? I don't think that's the same question as, has he thrown too many interceptions so far this season? Now, if he stays at this rate, which is eight interceptions in five starts, right? Because he missed two games. They've played seven games total. If he throws eight interceptions in every five games he plays, yes, he has an interception problem, and so do the Packers, because that means he's going to be in the mid to upper 20s in terms of the number of interceptions he throws this season.
I don't think you're asking the right question.
Well, it was Rob that asked the question. I didn't ask.
Don't pass the buck.
You're literally the headline of his story.
You're beating around the bush. You're beating around the bush.
I'm a...
If I may.
Never
what?
Mind.
Say it.
No, I'm not saying
that. What were you
going to
say? No? Okay. It's not that if you had to answer this question right now, and you constantly complain that I don't ask you enough questions.
Constantly is not accurate.
Is Jordan Love a good decision maker with the football? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think he has lapses in judgment. And I think he's taking more risks than he normally did last year. And I think that's, again, as I've said 1,000 times, constantly some might say, that is part of the process. But he has to, and I go back to what Hawk on the Dan Orlovsky.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Hawk Tour, that new podcast that's been a big hit.
I'm not familiar with that person's work.
Andrew Hawkins.
Yes,
Hawk.
Andrew Hawkins. It's a matter
but
of...
But he's not on that podcast with...
no.
With Hawk Joe Thomas.
He's different podcast.
Yeah, different podcast.
Oh, okay. There's so many pods out there, I can never keep track. Yeah.
The bottom line is he has had some bad decisions. We all know his bad decision. Everyone on the planet except for Matthew Hamilton, gold medalist, thinks it was a terrible decision to try and throw the ball underhanded out of your end zone in L.A. and throw a pick six Everyone except Matt, who thought it was smart because it saved them points of getting a safety and giving up a touchdown.
I'm coming around to the idea.
No, you're not.
No, it's the dumbest take in professional. It's literally the dumbest take I've ever heard on these airwaves. And trust me,
and that's saying something.
And I've given some dumb ones. Nothing to that degree.
Oh, I know.
So I think we're always so concerned about just being honest and seeing what we're seeing. And if you're looking at the five games he started this year, has he been a good decision maker with the football? No. He's thrown balls up that have worked out great. Nobody thought that was a good throw to Jaden Reed. His own coaches said it was a bad decision.
Yeah, zero grade. Yep.
Hey, Jason, playing quarterback, it's very similar to playing offensive tackle. You can have 30 great throws. Did the right thing. Did the right boom, boom, boom. And if you have five bad throws that you made horrible decisions on and end up turning the football over or however it shakes out, your blank's going to get beat. And this season, he's made some unbelievable throws. Are we going to say that was an unbelievable throw, or is Orlovsky going to break that down on that Tucker Kraft touchdown? If what's the dude's name that the ball went through his hands and is memed up everywhere?
I'm not.
Whatever his name is, the safety for Houston. If he intercepts that, we're all going to say
Kalen Bullock.
Bad decision.
Kalen
Bullock. Bad decision. So has his decision making been up to what we hope through five starts this year? I don't think you could say yes.
Well, now, all right. First of all, I just wanted to, I love to read on the radio. Here is the third paragraph of Rob's story, which begins with the headline, "Does Packers Jordan Love have an interception problem?" Third paragraph. At this point, heading into Sunday's game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, it might be too soon to tell whether Love has an interception problem or is taking an unnecessarily aggressive approach in his second year as a starter. So there's your answer. Too early to tell. Now, to your point about his number of bad decisions or questionable decisions, he has thrown 179 passes.
Okay.
Of those, whether the and let's take the result out of it and just talk about the decision, right? Because some have worked out, as you said, some have not. The sky ball that he throws to Romeo Doubs for his second touchdown in the Arizona game, you can't do that. It worked out, but you can't do that. So bad decision. You mentioned the deep ball into triple coverage that works out to be a 55-yard gain to Jaden Reed against the Rams. Bad decision. You mentioned the throw to Tucker Kraft and all the breakdown of that. I can't say that's a bad decision. He did what he was supposed to do. We saw what Dan Orlovsky showed with holding the safety for the split second so Kalen Bullock doesn't get there. But are we being POM, prisoner of the moment, because it's such a great throw? Because Kalen Bullock could very well have intercepted that ball. Do we give him a minus grade for his decision on that touchdown or not, would you say?
I don't think so, but
it's borderline.
The bottom line is the results do matter. The results are great, so that's how this works.
The interception he throws up for grabs to Dontavian Wicks, the third of his three interceptions against the Vikings, definitely a bad decision. What about his interceptions in the Texans game? So one of them, right, he doesn't recognize that the nickel is falling off of Romeo Doubs, and he gets into the passing lane on the throw to Wicks. He tips the ball. The linebacker intercepts it. Bad decision or bad read of the coverage, right?
It's the same thing.
Is it the same thing? Like, is he supposed to anticipate that? Okay, then there's another bad decision. Falling off to his left with pressure coming from his right as Danielle Hunter beats Zach Tom off the right edge, and then sailing the ball to Watson for the interception on that one. Is that a bad decision or is that a bad throw?
So not every interception. Obviously, the one that gets tipped up when the guy doesn't catch it and the ball
right,
pops
the Romeo
up,
one is a, that wasn't an interception. Was a
guy
was
slips. Bo Melton slips. That's not a bad decision. That's a bad result. But you're saying a lot. You just went through a lot, and that's without breaking down all the film. Again, I think a big part of it is that he came back from an injury he's supposed to be out 8 weeks for, and he's back in three. So there's, I'm giving him a ton of grace on in that regard because it's tough. You come back, you got to get your feet under you. There's a lot of things. Game moves fast. You fall behind by 28 points. Stuff's going to happen. I don't think he has an interception problem. To answer Rob's question, like he didn't answer, I will. I'll say he doesn't. But I think at this point, you do have to, and it still comes back to maturing and understanding flow of game. There's still a lot of stuff he's got to learn, and he's got to go through. But through 5 weeks, I can't sit here and say, boy, I love the decision-making that Jordan Love's making, because I just don't. You're judged on production and results. It's not always fair. Deal with it. That's how it goes. And what we were praising him because how many times were there even balls last year in that great run that he had that were even close to being intercepted? It was minimal to zero.
Perfect.
And now this year, there's been a lot.
That's exactly
a lot relatively speaking. So I'm not concerned. I do think it's a process, but you also have to be honest about it. And I'm guessing if Matt LaFleur and Jordan are sitting down and Tom Clements and Steno, they're saying we got to tighten this up. We've had three or four times a game where there's been too many balls that have been thrown up that the percentages aren't where they need to be for us to be successful as a football team, and especially in games we're better and we can dominate. If you're doing this against Detroit and you're down 14 in the fourth quarter, I'm okay with it. If you're up 14 against Detroit and you're doing this, now I'm judging Matt LaFleur and you because don't even give him put yourself in a position to do that. That's where I look at this thing holistically, and I say he does have to tighten that up. I don't think his decision-making is where it needs to be at this point.
So I'm glad that you wound up in the place that I was trying to get to, and that is this. I ran through all those plays. We couldn't do that exercise during the second half of last season. We couldn't. There weren't that many times where he put the ball in harm's way. And he's doing it a lot more. So does he have a risk management problem? Because you and I agree, if this does not rise to the level of he has an interception problem yet. But if he continues to take these risks, especially in critical spots. And again, not every interception is created equal. I'm watching, as we sit here on NFL Plus, I'm watching the throw to Dobbs on the first down play. He throws Dobbs, that's a tight window he's trying to get the ball to him on the game-winning field goal drive. There's three guys kind of around him. And two of the three, plus Dobbs himself, get their hands on the ball. First guy tips it, then it's off of Romeo's hands, then it's off the next guy's hands. I would argue that he probably had somewhere else he could have gone with the ball there. And if that ball gets intercepted, we're not talking about Brandon McManus's game-winning field goal. We're talking, oh my God, he threw three picks in a game again. And then the answer to Rob's question is yes, he has an interception problem because they lost the game because of it, because the results do matter. So, look, there's no denying he has to tighten it up. He knows that. The coaches know that. My question is, how do you not take away this important developmental aspect of his game of allowing him to take some risks? How do you let him keep doing that without putting the ball in harm's way as often as he is? And I don't know the answer to that.
That's the great question. That's why these coaches are high paid and why they're good at their job. And it doesn't need to be seven or eight of those throws. It's very similar to back in the old days when Rodgers would go out and try to ad-lib plays. You don't want to take that away.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want it to be a key component to your offense. You mm-hmm. need that to be a sprinkler, not right. the main entree.
Yep.
Same thing here. Jordan can do this, but sprinkle it and make sure that it's not 30-70. You know, 3-on-1, like you threw the ball to Jaden Reed,
mm-hmm.
it's got to be more 50-50-ish. And then if somebody makes a hell of a play, hey, great, tip your cap, move on with your life. But there's just been too many opportunities for the ball to be in the opponent's hands this season so far. I would recommend that Jordan and Matt LaFleur sit down, and I believe when George Costanza had to do some risk management work, he ended up doing an audiobook with George Costanza reading the importance of risk management. That's what I think I would do next, is get Jordan and Matt a risk management from Costanza, read it, and hopefully that will help curb some of that risk that he's taken on.
It's a pretty obscure Seinfeld reference. I'm not sure that landed the way you were hoping. So it's a good thing.
Oh, I think
that
it did. You're just mad you didn't think of it.
I'm definitely not mad I didn't think of it. I am mad that you've had one of your bathrooms redone by Kohler Services, and I have not yet, because they make their bathrooms beautiful.
They do indeed. If you do need a bath or shower remodel, what a great little holiday deal to go. Turn to Kohler Services. Family-owned, 150 years. Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, zero interest financing for 12 months. And a free shower door. A free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with that free shower door. With fast professional installation always included. Again, that's KohlerServicesWI.com.
We'll talk more about this. Plus, we'll talk about the, what do we call him, the squeaky wheel? Romeo Doubs and his contributions over the last two games. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Slow down on Monday.
All right, we'll get to Romeo Doubs in a second. But when I get a question in the YouTube comments, especially when John puts my last name in all caps, he really wants me to notice. So, Wilde!
Well, it worked.
It did work. I'm rewarding his behavior.
Greasy wheel got the oil.
That's
squeaky wheel got the grease.
That's exactly. If I'd have had the opportunity to finish that thought, that's exactly where I was going. Does some of Love's interception problem relate to the chances he took during training camp and the increased number of interceptions he had then? You know, he did adopt, Tausch, kind of the Aaron Rodgers mentality during training camp of, this is where you take some chances. This is where you see, you know, kind of the laboratory of experimentation. And he did throw a high number of picks during training camp. I don't know if it's carrying over necessarily, but again, I keep going back to this because it's true. It's part of that maturation. It's just, I don't think Jordan Love is arrogant. I don't think he's cocky. I don't think that. But do I think he's got a lot of self-confidence in what he can do with his arm and the throws that he can make? And does he at times perhaps think he is able to do things that he probably shouldn't and maybe even couldn't do? I do think that has occurred on a few occasions this season. Would you agree?
Yeah. And we get that. That's all part of the deal. I think we all just have to keep reminding ourselves that he's still a really young player
mm-hmm.
and still has a long way to go development-wise. This is not going to be the finished product. We've seen some things that we're excited about, and we hope if he could play like he did that stretch of football last season, woo. But I don't want this to be all doom and gloom. Is he making some bad decisions this year? He has.
Sure.
But he's also ripping tutters at an unbelievable rate.
Agreed.
We're seeing a lot of tutters being thrown for a guy that's missed two games. And facts of life it, baby. Sometimes you facts of life these things, and it is part of life. Would we love it for him to never throw a pick? Obviously. That's not real. It's going to happen. All I'm saying is let's dial back some of the poor decisions. It's going to happen. Guys give up sacks. Guys miss tackles. Interceptions are dropped. But quarterback's a different world. Hey, Yanni, am I boring you, or what's going on over there, LaFleur? What is this, LaFleur's press conference? Sorry, Jason. Add something in since you're so
enamored with what's going on. I had nowhere to hide.
Put the hand up. Go out of screen.
Yeah, shut your screen down. Just put a book in front of you. Go like this.
I tried to duck down. I thought that's what I was supposed to do.
Dude, you might be the worst yawn hider of all time. You can't hide a yawn.
You really didn't even
even though I'm putting old Wildo to sleep over there.
Wildo.
I just think.
Wildo.
We have to acknowledge he's throwing a lot of tutters. I do think this narrative has gotten to the point where people are like, God, he can't do this. He's doing a lot of great things, too. It's just, you know, how how important protecting the football is. And when you don't do that, you put your team at risk to lose football games you shouldn't. And that's all we're looking for is let's just be a little smarter with the football. He is ripping some unbelievable throws, too, that are touchdowns. Facts of life it, and we just hope that as you continue to grow and develop, less of those things pop up.
Wildo.
Can I?
Where did that one come
from? Would it be
from?
Wrong to change the name of the show? Wildo and Tosh.
Oh, my cheeks
Where's
hurt.
Where's Wildy?
I was much better off when I was just yawning, quite frankly. All right, we've got trivia coming up.
Oh my gosh.
On Wildo and Tausch.
Facts of life it, baby.
Facts of life it, baby. Does Prize Picks do interception projections?
Yes, they do.
They do.
So if Jordan Love is 0.5 interceptions.
Gotta go more.
You don't have any choice, right? You gotta.
If you're studying trend lines and analytically would say absolutely go more. Even though I hope it's less, Prize Picks, the best place to get real money sports action. Over 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to everybody. You pick more or less 2 to 4 players. You can go 2 to 6 players. You go more or less on those players for a shot to win up to 100 times your cash. I can't tell what Jesse, what he's showing on screen. I think it's 0.5 interceptions. That's the beauty of Prize Picks. NBA, you have all the sports that you're looking at. NFL, it's so fun to get involved in. I just had a nice win the other night with Anthony Davis. Going to take a look at all the stuff going on this weekend. And when your picks hit, you get your money back in as quick as 15 minutes. And now you can win up to 100 times with just 4 correct picks. Download the app today. Use your code WI, great state of Wisconsin, to get $50 instantly. After you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run
your
game.
Jordan Love is projected at 0.5 interceptions. He has hit more than that in each of his last 5 games.
You have to, right? Jacksonville's defense is... And I would think... Don't you feel like Matt LaFleur is sick of this narrative, and I think he wants to have a game where it's clean? Just go down. I don't know how good Jacksonville's offense is. They've done some good things. They haven't. But their defense is god-awful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 32nd out of 31 teams, right? I think it's that bad.
33rd out of 32 teams, maybe.
Well, 33rd team's got a little website. I don't want to promote
They do,
them.
Yeah. They've got that. All right. I want to get to Romeo Doubs here. We'll talk about him on Wildo and Tausch next.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Like that Wildo is basically one letter off of something that I don't want said on the radio program, so I'm still struggling with that choice of words. My cheeks don't hurt anymore from laughing so hard, though. You never know what you're going to get around here. Squeaky wheel. You made the point earlier. In the last two games, Romeo Doubs had two touchdown catches against Arizona. Last week, he had crucial catches on the game-winning touchdown field goal drive at the end of the game. He was targeted 10 times. He had the most catches, the most yards of any receiver. Do you think that that has been, as Jordan Love told us yesterday, organically happening? Or do you think that, having been in game planning meetings during your playing career, that maybe there have been a few more plays that were designed with him as the first read to get him kind of back in the fold?
Yeah, I feel like it'd be irresponsible for me to say, because I don't know. I can assure you of this, and you saw this last week with the Philadelphia Eagles and the Giants. There's certain times that coaches will make sure they can throw a little something-something to their guys. Whether you're playing against a former team, hey, let's get this young man a tutter. And I think we actually saw that, I don't remember, somebody playing against Green Bay was trying to get one of their guys a touchdown that has been here.
Yeah, it was Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones. There you go. It happens. And, of course, I think human nature tells you you want everyone to be happy, typically. So do I think that they made a concerted effort to get more touches to Romeo? No. Do I think that they also said he's having a good streak here? He was the one guy last week that you felt really good about. Find ways to get him the ball at the end? I do. So it can be a little bit of both, but I'm not going to say, well, because he complained and did this, he got – that would be cynical. And I don't want to be cynical today. I want to be fun.
Well, I don't want to be a pirate.
I have some laughs. I want to have some laughs. But I think it would be crazy to think that you're not going to try and accommodate some stuff for players that you know are important to what you're doing. You want them to be happy with their role, and you want them to continue to work to improve, staying engaged and having that. If you just say, we're not going to get you the ball at all, some guys are going to shut down. You don't want that. So I think that's a fine line of balancing, and that's another reason why it's just still – I just got a little unease. Just a little unease about the whole scenario.
So then, corollary question.
What, do you think so? What do you think?
I think they've probably had a few more plays because they don't want to reward his behavior, but they want to make sure he's engaged. You use the word that I like. I think you needed to get some forward momentum with him. And you got it in the Arizona game, even though he was only targeted four times because they only threw the ball like 20 times. But I thought I do think that they've probably designed a few more plays where he's the first guy. I mean, those slants, those are obviously quick happening plays. So he's obviously the first read on those, right? My corollary question is, now that we've discussed Christian Watson, even if he hasn't been squeaky wheel guy, do they have a few more where he's the first read for Jacksonville and try to get him a little more involved because they understand this? Because, look, Matt LaFleur, again, he's not coaching, U13 soccer. He wants to get everybody playing time. But I do think that he wants to make sure that guys feel like they're part of it. That is something that's important to him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he had a few plays in the mix where it's designed to get Christian Watson the football a little more.
You would hope that's the case. And, one of those 14, they drew up on the sideline after they saw a coverage. So Christian Watson kind of had to go up and say, listen, man, you guys want touchdowns? Maybe we run this play. Hey, Tutter City. So you want to keep your guys engaged and feeling like they're voice is heard. I don't care what business you're in. That's what you want.
Yeah.
So I do think you have to start watching out. Not that Christian Watson's going to go out of pocket here, but I do think it would behoove the Green Bay Packers to make sure, especially the way he's been, he just has handled himself so well, and he is such a talent, and you hear it all the time, this offense can't flourish to where it needs to be if you don't have number nine involved. Well, let's get him involved. Let's find some ways to get him the football, and I know you're doing some jet sweeps and take some shots. You're going to get some one-on-one coverage. There's just now with Kraft emerging and that run game, teams are going to be damned if they do, damned if they don't. And I would say you never want to give up big plays, but at some point you also don't want to get just pounded into submission with the ground game and some of this other stuff. When you get opportunities, let's see what number nine can do.
Let's see what we can do with trivia. Jesse, you were late for work today.
A little bit, yeah. Not late, just running behind. Tough morning.
It says.
Well, what happened, Jesse? Tell me more. What was going on?
We're getting ready. We're hosting some people at the house this weekend. So some time I would normally spend on show prep was getting the house ready. I'm working volleyball tonight, so I won't be around to get things.
Thank you for your
fully
service.
Situated. A big one tonight. Kelly Sheffield going to for win 306 to take over as the all-time winningest head coach at Wisconsin.
Questions to be sent in a separate email because I'm running late today.
I did send them in a separate
email. What exactly are you doing? So your friends and people are coming in tomorrow, my guess would be, right?
A couple of them are coming in late tonight, actually. We're spending the night tonight.
Okay, so what exactly are you all doing to get set up? Like, what is?
Well, you got to clean the house. We also had, we had some friends over last weekend too. We got been a big stretch of days here for people coming over. So you got to dust up. You got to clean up all the blankets, do all the beds, get the towels. Oh, Jason's yawning again.
I don't. That's a fake yawn.
Have you ever hosted company, Tausch? Like, this is what you do to get the house ready.
Yeah, but I don't take 3 days off of work to get the house ready.
I'm not taking days off of work to get the house ready. I'm taking a day off to go golfing with my pals tomorrow.
Robert Sala. Jesse, since you were running so late today, you did send the trivia questions, but you didn't say what the category is.
The category is, in honor of Robert Sala being at Packers practice yesterday, Sala, LaFleur, or Shanahan. Those are your three options for every trivia question about one of the three of them.
Okay, perfect. Together, the three of them have zero combined Super Bowl championships.
Oh, burn. Wow.
As head coaches.
And you're not snarky. And come on.
So we can't have callers zero. But they have a lot of experience. They've won a lot of games.
How many days has Robert Sala not coached? It's less than 14, I think, right? He got fired on a Tuesday. You know they didn't just hire him yesterday. So how many days off did he actually take? 11?
12, yeah. Caller 12.
Okay.
844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 12 for Wildy and Tausch trivia. We will play next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Let's get to trivia. Let's welcome in our contestants. It is Elijah in Poinette. Elijah, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks. I'm good.
The category is Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, Robert Sala, or all of the above? Or is that not an option, Jesse?
There are no all of the aboves. This is all one over the other.
Is it possible for it to be both? And any questions?
I would never rule it out.
All right.
That's a smart answer, Jesse. That's well done. All right, Elijah. Either Oh, this is a tough first question now. Either as an assistant or a head coach, which of these coaches has been to the most NFC championship games? Shanny, LaFleur, Salah.
It's either Shanny or LaFleur. I think he's been to... let's go Shanahan.
Correct. Bam.
You know, you use this technique, it eliminates the third funny option, though.
But Bob Saleh's not funny. Yeah, well, everybody knew he'd never even been in the NFC, has he? Other than as a... I guess he was a...
With the 49ers, yeah.
What are the numbers, Jesse, since we're all curious now?
I actually didn't write them down. Shanahan's been to six, I think, in total.
Been very busy, Jesse. You know, he's got a lot on his plate.
They just randomly throw out numbers. Shanahan was in like eight, and I think LaFleur's like four.
That's about right, yeah.
Question two, Elijah. Which coach is the only one inducted into the Athletic Hall of Fame of his college alma mater? Is it Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, or Robert Saleh?
I have no idea. Let's pick one I haven't picked yet. We'll do Robert Saleh.
Interesting technique, though. I'm intrigued by the thought process. Don't know? Don't say Shanahan, because he was the answer to question one. Interesting. Correct answer,
that
Matt LaFleur. Saginaw Valley State Hall of Fame. All right. Tausch's got question three, Elijah.
Okay.
All three coaches were born in 1979. But who is the oldest? Shanny, LaFleur, Saleh.
I'm going to go with the same tactic. Let's go, Saleh.
Figured out Jesse's Rubik's Cube, didn't you? You figured out the old Rubik's
Cube. The old rascal.
Yeah, if I would have got the second one right, I would have been perfect then.
Yeah, that, if you would have been, but you didn't.
Pretty good little strategy, Elijah. Very good little strategy.
Very good. Savvy. All right, Elijah, you got two out of three. That means you got three of the possible four entries into the drawing tomorrow. We appreciate you playing, buddy. Thanks.
Yep, thank you, guys. You have a wonderful day.
All right, that is Wildy and Tausch trivia.
He doesn't love us. But Elijah didn't say
Well, maybe if he'd have gotten all three right, he would have. But we know that you love to say, pour me in, coach. Tito Beverage.
Tito's Handmade Vodka on a game day. Oh, you know that's right. Pour me in, coach. From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch, root for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack of spicy bloody. For a warm-up, salt the rim of a Tito Rita, or take home the win with a Tito's and whatever your heart desires. You're calling the game. You change up your roster. Wash that lucky jersey. As long as you make Tito's your first-round bottle pick. Whose house? It's Tito's house. Find cocktail recipes for every fan at titosvodka.com. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch kicks off in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.